History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should not go untold. And they don't have to go untold, as long as some of us are willing to take a little initiative and ask a few questions, and then invest some time to patiently listen as memories from long, long ago start to take on new meaning in the here and now. The goal has always been, first and foremost, to honor our veterans for their service and their sacrifice. We also want to preserve their stories so the rest of us never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, not only are we educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we find ourselves inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. As we approach the 79th anniversary of D-Day, I had planned to focus this week's episode around the invasion of Normandy, but we're going to hold off on that for another week because of the unexpected privilege I had this past week to be at a very special place that now features a very special piece of D-Day history, and in thinking about it, a landmark that really represents, in many ways, the starting point for this program. It was the long-awaited completion of the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. back in 2004, and my World War II veteran grandfather's contribution to it that first got me thinking seriously about interviewing members of that greatest generation. The memorial, constructed with $197 million of donated funds contributed mostly by World War II vets themselves, was dedicated on Memorial Day in 2004, which made this past Monday the 20th Memorial Day to be marked there. A freedom wall of 4,000 gold stars represents the more than 400,000 Americans who gave their lives for our country and our freedom in World War II. There aren't going to be too many more years where we'll have surviving World War II veterans on hand there to honor the fallen. Three of them were honored guests at this year's observance, and we're going to hear from one of those World War II vets in a moment, and then from the son of a World War II Gold Star hero. But after the national anthem, the first thing attendees heard at this year's Memorial Day commemoration in Washington was the invocation from Chaplain Will Horton.
Almighty God, we have gathered today to honor the veterans who paid the ultimate price in the preservation of the freedoms we enjoy every day. We're grateful for the World War II veterans who served with patriotism, valor, commitment, and sacrifice, and are honored at this site. Our nation's sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers answered the call in a time of crisis and laid down their lives for the love of God and country. As we read in sacred scripture, John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. Anchored in your holy truth, we continue to pray that we as a nation would not compromise your holy word or calling when confronted by evil forces. Refresh, merciful Father, the hearts of our citizens with the faith and the strength necessary to respond with a similar courage as the heroes we honor today. Inspire leaders of our great republic with integrity, honesty, and steadfast hearts dedicated to defending and preserving the dignity and freedom of all people. May we continue to be blessed with remarkable service members, motivated by their faith in you and their dedication to our nation. Bless this ceremony, its participants, and all who share in this memorial. Bless our military, those who are deployed this very hour, and their families. And God bless America. In your precious and holy name I pray. Amen.
Keep in mind that both the ceremony itself and the interviews conducted at the National World War II Memorial will include the sound of the memorial's centerpiece fountain flowing continuously throughout. Capturing the meaning of the World War II Memorial this Memorial Day in his welcoming remarks was the superintendent of the National Mall and Memorial Parks for the National Park Service, Jeffrey Reinbold.
It is my pleasure to welcome you to the World War II Memorial, a memorial that commemorates a generation of Americans who emerged from the Depression to fight and win the most devastating war in world history. On this Memorial Day, we gather to remember those who, in the words of Abraham Lincoln, gave the last full measure of devotion to their country. Here at the World War II Memorial, The more than 400,000 Americans lost are represented by the field of stars on the Freedom Wall behind me. Each one of the 4,048 stars symbolizes 100 individual Americans who paid the price of freedom. We also pause to remember the tens of millions of people from around the world who died in the Second World War. World War II Memorial stands not only as a tribute to the men and women who never made it home from that war, but also as a reminder of the profound impact their sacrifices had on the course of history. The memorial also pays tribute to those on the home front who supported the soldiers in this nation's war effort. The monuments and memorials that line the National Mall bring us together as Americans to remember, to learn, to inspire. They remind us of our common heritage and our responsibility to ensure those we honor are not forgotten. Among the inscriptions on this memorial are the words Admiral Chester Nimitz spoke during his address to the American people immediately following the formal surrender of Japan on September 2, 1945. Nimitz spoke of the solemn obligation that all Americans have to those who made the supreme sacrifice. He said they fought together as brothers in arms. They died together, and now they sleep side by side. To them, we have a solemn obligation. On this Memorial Day, it's important to remember that our obligation to the fallen extends well beyond the last Monday in May. The National Park Service, our volunteers, and the Friends of the World War II Memorial will be here every day of every hour of every year, watching over this place, ensuring that the sacrifices of those Americans represented in this memorial will be remembered in perpetuity.
Remembering those sacrifices in perpetuity is really what this program has always been about. And we do that primarily through the memories of World War II veterans themselves. One of three World War II Navy veterans on hand to lay wreaths at the memorial this year in Washington on Memorial Day, Dixon Hemphill has garnered great acclaim in recent years for continuing to run well into his 90s. He was the 1949 college decathlon champion for Middlebury College and once finished third in the Milrose Games in the pole vault. But those athletic accomplishments never would have come together if he had not survived World War II and a long career in the Navy, retiring with the rank of Lieutenant Commander. What did it mean to you to be here for Memorial Day, to be part of this?
Well, it meant a lot because, having served so long ago, way back in 43, 44, after that, I stayed in the reserve for 20 years, but I wasn't, frankly, as interested in World War II. I'd served and was raising a family and doing other things. But more recently, as I've gotten older, I've been really impressed by the interest in World War II. And I've realized that we, frankly, help save the world. It sounds a little overdoing it, but things were rough. I was telling somebody else, we were pretty much neutral until Pearl Harbor. That really woke us up, but we were still we were pretty certain that neither the Japanese or the Germans could do much to us in this country with big oceans in between us. But Roosevelt in particular, got in touch with Churchill, and poor Churchill, they were really in bad shape. They were bombed regularly with those V-2 bombs, and Hitler was about to invade Great Britain. And then we stepped in, and once we got going, we realized how serious things were, and by sending thousands and thousands of Americans over, we helped turn the tide, and we pushed Hitler back and finally made him commit suicide. And the Japanese were after us in the Pacific, and we did a wonderful job there. And when Truman dropped the atomic bomb, that was the end of it. And people argue, well, we killed thousands and thousands of people when we dropped those two bombs, but what would have happened if we invaded Japan? They would have there'd been a lot of Americans killed, a lot of Americans. So it was quite a decision to make.
And you said Pearl Harbor woke us up. Yeah. Do you have a personal memory of how you found out about it that day?
Oh, yeah. I was in the backyard at home in West Sully, Rhode Island, and I guess my mother called out to me and said, come on in and listen to the news. And so I did, and frankly, I knew where Pearl Harbor was, but I wasn't overexcited at the time, to be very honest, because it was so far away, and I didn't think that we would be bombed, and we were bombed, but I just didn't know what the results would be. But as the news came across, Walter Cronkite and all the reporters talking about how serious things were, and as I looked around, my high school friends were joining up, and all of us were joining up. So I joined them up, and it got going, and it turned out to be quite an adventure.
Do you have, and you know, you mentioned Pearl Harbor, the 2,400 who died there are some of those we remember on Memorial Day. Do you have people that you knew personally that you think about on this day that those gold stars there represent?
Well, I do. I don't know of anybody in particular that was at Pearl Harbor in that group, but I had friends, high school friends, who went to Europe, and one became a prisoner of war early, very early on, and a couple guys died that I knew personally. So, and then when I went to college, I was surprised to learn that some of my classmates at college had been B-24 bombers during the war, and frogmen. Yep, one of them was a frogman, but they didn't talk about it. Didn't talk about it much. At college, people didn't talk about the war. It was over, and we were just doing other things. But it's kind of interesting how today is more interest in the war than there was earlier. Don't you agree to that?
Well, yeah. Well, back then you were all doing it, but now there's not too many of you left. So, and the history's being forgotten. And one question I have for you, and I'll...
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. There you go. You served on the battleship North Carolina, I heard. Do you have any memories of moments where you might have come relatively close to adding to that number that these gold stars represent?
No, I'll tell you, that was a little misleading. I was on the North Carolina, but it was after it came back.
Oh, okay.
It was after it came back.
So what were you doing during the war?
Well, I was on a light cruiser, the Little Rock, and we were in the Atlantic. Our home port was Guantanamo Bay, and we sailed up and down the East Coast looking for submarines. But we didn't see any. It was near the end of the war. And so I volunteered to go to the Pacific. I wanted to do a little more, and my time wasn't up. And as soon as I volunteered, they sent me to China. So I served on the landing craft there, but I never saw action during the time I was there.
That's good.
Well, it's good, but I kind of wish I had, in a way, but I had an interesting career, and the smartest thing I did was to stay in the reserve. Uh-huh. I've had a lot of medical problems, lots of them, and they've all been taken care of financially by the government, which is great.
And why was it so important for you to be here today? What are you? Who are you representing, and why are you here?
Well, representing all the services, and people come up to me and say, thank you for your service, so it feels good to have been here and been in the service. Many of us didn't see combat, but we served, and I like to think we helped.
So many helped in so many different ways, and through his running, Dixon Hemphill has helped direct even more attention toward his fellow veterans. I have some more information on Mr. Hemphill linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com, and you can also pull up some resources relating to the gentleman we're going to hear from next. Why was Ken Underwood at the National World War II Memorial on Memorial Day? To honor the father he never met. You'll hear that Gold Star family's story, which also has quite a connection to what our men and women in uniform are doing around the world right now, when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this.